Thank you very much for inviting me to come and speak with you this Monday. And in my own personal life, I do know that Jesus saves. My grandfather was just a young man, 19 years old, in the jungles of southern Mexico. And one time there was a man on horseback and didn't know what it was, but he was a coal porter. And it happens that a neighbor of his bought a pamphlet from him. And so then the neighbor's life began to change so much that my grandfather noticed that. And at first he began to tease her because she didn't eat pork or keep pigs anymore. And so then after he saw the life change that took place and wanted to know more about it, then lo and behold, he became interested too. And as a result, they became Seventh-day Adventists. So we are first generation here. I am first generation with my brothers and my sisters. And as a result of becoming a Seventh-day Adventist, then the focus of my parents' life became that all of their children should have an Adventist education. And as a result of that, we married people that we met in college. And in the 60s and 70s, I'm from California, the mix of young people in our colleges was not as diverse as it is today. And so, you know, I married somebody who was blonde and blue-eyed, and it was a real culture shock to my family. And but, you know, when you go to an Adventist school, you meet all kinds of different people, and when there's only six or seven Hispanics and three or four of them, of the guys, are like your brothers, the pickings are very slim. So anyway, we have a son who graduated from Pacific Union College, who today is in the intelligence community in the D.C. area, who met his wife at Pacific Union College, and she is an anesthetist at Georgetown. And I graduated from Loma Linda and from Fuller as well, and my training really is as a seminary professor. And so when I was recruited to work for the General Conference, because I speak Spanish, I worked in the stewardship department and did a lot of work in South America. And it was from there that I came to Washington Adventist University. And from teaching seminary and preparing young men and women for ministry, I come to work at Washington Adventist University, where more in a four-year college environment, I taught Jesus and the Gospels, which is considered a general ed class. And guess what? I had freshmen. I had 18 and 19-year-olds when I'm used to seminary graduate students. And then in my knowing and sharing Jesus, it was the same thing again. I tell you, I have not had so much fun, because as I teach the Bible, the perspectives that they bring, and Washington Adventist University is a true mission field, in that about 40% of the student body is not Seventh-day Adventist. So as a result of that, we have in our classrooms many young people who have never read the Bible before. And so it's a great privilege to teach and to introduce young people to Jesus many times for the first time. So this evening, and my attire is such tonight that I really just got out of the car. It's a long ways from Columbia, Maryland, so my suit is still in the car. So I know this is camp meeting, and you will excuse that. I have invited one of my students from my Jesus and the Gospels class, and also my Knowing and Sharing Jesus class. And what we're going to do tonight in our presentation is we are going to have a conversation together. And we are also going to invite you at different times to participate with us. But we're just going to talk about the subject of faith and about being adults. What is an adult? What is an adult faith? What's a committed love? What's an adult kind of love? Those are the kinds of things we're going to think about this evening. So I'm going to invite Natasha to come up. Good to see you, Natasha.
I know, I'm like really nervous. We're just done with school, graduation's over with. 21 now, I'm thinking about marriage. And I know I can come to you and talk to you about this, and I'm really nervous because my mom is getting worried, and my culture is they expect you to get married right away. So I'm really worried. So
So help me out. Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, how am I supposed to calm my mother down and let her know that all of this is supposed to happen on God's time?
Well, Natasha, marriage is an adult topic. It really is. So when we think about marriage, we really begin to think about those subjects that adults begin to consider. Let me ask you something. What do you think an adult is? What comes to mind when you think of an adult?
An adult. Someone who's done with college?
Okay.
That's me. Could pay their bills? Who owns a house, maybe? Which I don't own. A car? I don't know. Okay, maybe I'm not an adult. Maybe they can help me. What is an adult? Just give me something so she could...
An older child.
Okay. Good answer. What else? What else comes to mind when you're thinking of an adult? Yes. Okay, so you're an adult if you have a cell phone.
Yep.
Okay, what else? What's an adult? What do you think? Someone who lives responsibly. Said twice. Did you notice that? What do you think, Natasha?
Yeah, I think they're right. Being responsible, you know, and doing all the things that grown-ups do, whatever they do.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
I think so. I think we're getting to the idea of what maybe adults do.
Okay.
However, how do you view it?
Well, like I said, I think they're pretty responsible people and older.
Right? Older. Did you catch that?
Older.
Yes. Well, when we think about adults and we think about marriage, one of the things that comes into play as well is we can think about what role God plays in our lives. Sometimes adults begin to think about spiritual things.
Hmm. That's true. Well, I guess you're an adult when you can fully trust God.
Yes.
When you go to church every Sabbath and you pay your tithes. That's like the big one. What else?
Stewardship.
Exactly. And when you come for Vespers, do your church duties. You're an adult.
Yes.
Yeah. That's it.
That's it. Does everyone agree? Does that sound like an adult? All right. Let's think about faith and adults. What would a spiritual adult, a adult who is mature in their faith, what characteristics might we then think about?
Prayer.
What else? What do you think, Natasha?
Let's see. Childlike faith? Well, adult, I really don't know. Because I'm not an adult. I've learned in Sabbath school, childlike faith. They always told me, have childlike faith. Trust God, childlike faith. So this adult-like faith is a new thing to me. So I really don't know what you're talking about.
That is a very good observation. How many of you have heard the term that you must have faith like a child?
Yeah.
Right? So what does that mean?
Trusting.
Complete trust, right?
Confidence.
Confidence. However, what I'd like you to probe is that while children have the capacity to be trusting in the moment, to be trusting what is surrounding them at that moment, a child does not have the capacity to accept what's happening in the present, the facts, and yet go beyond that. They can only trust in the present, in only the concrete, what is happening, but they can't take it beyond that. Let's look, Natasha, at an example of adult faith. And
okay.
If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Romans 4. And we're going to look at the passage of verses 19 to 21. And I love to teach the Bible, and I love to hear the pages turn. So if I can hear your pages turn to Romans 4, 19 to 20. Now, when Paul wrote this letter, he was writing in the context of friends. He wasn't writing this letter to a church in particular, but to friends. What is Christian living really like? What is it all about? And so he begins to talk about faith in chapter 4. And he begins to talk about the example of Abraham. And let's think a little bit about Abraham at this moment. Abraham was given by God the promise that he would have an heir. And this heir would multiply so much as the sand of the sea. But many, many, many years later, when Moses is very old, the promise still has not been fulfilled. And Paul points us now to Abraham to say something very specific about Abraham and faith, about what mature faith really looks like. Let's begin to read in verse 19. Well, let's begin in verse 16. I always like to read the whole paragraph. For this reason, it depends on faith in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that did not exist. Sometime go back and read that sentence several times. Let's move on to 18. Hoping against hope. This is Abraham. He believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said. So numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead. For he was about 100 years old when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb.
100 years old?
100
We're
years.
We're talking really old faith. Like, this is a huge deal.
Old adults. Yes, we could say that.
Okay.
And we need to look at this old adult and old faith because we really have a lot to learn here. Let's look more carefully at verse 19. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body. Let's look at the facts. The fact is that he is living in his own body, and the fact is that he is now old. His wife is barren. Those are the facts. He is fully facing the facts of his reality in that context. This is what it looks like. These are the facts. However, look at verse 20. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. So, instead of becoming discouraged because of the facts that he was facing them square on. This is the reality. But instead of it weakening his faith, it was growing his faith. A mature faith grows towards maturity. Okay? He is an adult, and the faith has to grow to become an adult faith. And part of that is growing when you're facing the facts, but yet your faith is growing. And in 21 it says, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. What does fully convinced mean? Natasha, how else might we say that?
Fully convinced. Let's see. I guess he was persuaded, like he was totally sold. Like he was sold, like that's what God said was going to happen is going to happen.
Yes. What else, what other word could we use besides being fully convinced, fully persuaded?
Convicted.
Good. What else? Confident.
Believe.
Believe. have faith. Think about these words, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. Faith, fully facing facts and yet being fully persuaded that God was able. That is an adult faith. Being fully able to see what the facts are, but yet being fully persuaded that God is able.
I'm a little bit confused. You're an amazing Bible teacher. I've taken like all of your classes. And we're talking about faith, and I'm here, and I'm confused, and I'm wondering why I'm not married. And I need help with that.
You need
we're talking about Abraham here. I'm talking about marriage.
Good point here. Okay, she wants to get back to the subject, right? Talk about marriage. How do I do this? All right. Let's think about the role of love for a minute, because marriage really at the core is love. And I got to tell Natasha a little story that I heard from a colleague of mine. I have a friend who teaches in Scotland, and he told me this story. And he said that a young man came into his office, and he said, "Professor, there's a girl." And from the tone of his voice, he knew, "There's a girl." And he says, "Have you told her how you feel about her?" "Oh, yes. I have told her how I feel about her." And it was so evident that he was head over heels about this girl. And he says, "Well, what did she say to you?" And he said, "Well, she said to me, 'No, no, let's not get so serious. Let's just be friends.'" And from the look on this young man's face, my friend, the professor, said to him, "So what did you say to her?" And he says, "I told her, I don't want to be your friend. I want to be your husband." And he said, "Well, you made it pretty clear, didn't you?" Many, many times when we look to Jesus, all of us say that we love Jesus. We all can say we love Jesus. But many times, our response to Jesus is the same. "No, no, let's just be friends. Let's not let this get so serious." And that's how we think about Jesus. However, in Scripture, what we find is that biblical love is a committed love. It's a committed love, as we find in marriage. Jesus says, "I am yours and you are mine." And that kind of committed love, when we think about love in those terms of commitment, we love God with a committed love, and we think about marriage and we think about faith, then how would that kind of committed love be related to faith, do you think, Natasha?
Let's see, I guess so when you're in this committed love with God, our faith increases and we trust him more and it matures. Okay, so I get what you're saying. Okay, I'm walking away with a blessing. You're telling me that I have to be worried, not worried, well, I have to focus on Jesus. I have to focus on my relationship with Jesus first so I can have adult-like faith. Amen. You want me to be in a committed relationship with Jesus?
What do you think?
Amen. After all, he is my bridegroom, right? It makes sense.
Yes.
It makes sense.
Yes. All right. What we're going to do right now is we want you to really think through this concept and process a little bit. Natasha?
What Dr. usually does in our class, and this works, and this completely works, what we're going to do is maybe you can get in pairs of two. And I would recommend not being in pairs with someone who you know, because this is going to get personal. And this is something that I believe that Jesus wants us to do is to be responsible for our brother or sister. So at this time, I guess we're going to just find someone, sit with them, and then we're going to have a special activity.
Right. What we're going to do is we're going to break up into small groups of 2 and 3. Okay? If you can't bear to get away from your committed person, it's okay. But typically, it's nice to get to know someone else. And this is what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to share with that person, where are areas in your life where you would like to grow to have adult faith? Or option number 2 is, where are areas and what are things, actions that you can take to grow a committed love for Jesus? Okay? Because all of us are fully facing facts this very moment that we are here. All of us are here because we all need a sense of God's presence in our life, because we are all facing something. It could be our children, it could be our work circumstances, but it's something that we're looking at. It's a fact that we know. But what we want is to become fully persuaded that God is able. And so what we're going to talk about in our group is, if you'd like to, what is that area that you are facing right now that you want somebody to pray with you about that will strengthen your faith to an adult faith so that you can fully face the facts and become fully persuaded that God is able? All right? So those are your discussion themes. So share with your group, pray with one another, and Natasha and I will then close in prayer. So just take a few minutes, every person, if you're in a group of 2 or 3, sharing 2 or 3 minutes each, and then 1 or 2 minutes for prayer. And we'll come down and join a group with you. So go ahead and form your groups of 2 and 3. Let's come together again. Isn't it a blessing to be able to share and pray for one another? It always is. You know, we'd like to finish our time together tonight, and Natasha has a few words that she'd like to share. And I think that this is the time to really think about the role that adult faith has in our life, because it is for a purpose that we have the belief and the love for God. It's not to keep it to ourselves.
All right. How many of us in here have children? Grandchildren? People that you work with in the ministry who are like the youth? All right. This is to you guys. And this is really, really important, because we look up to people like you. You set the standard for us. This adult-like faith is something that we learn at our homes. It's something that we don't just read it, but we also see how our parents and our grandparents live it out. Amen. Childlike faith is great. It really is, because that's where the trust comes in. But then the adult-like faith is what we are really pursuing. It's where we really want to be, because when we are faced with daily conflicts in life, when things are hard, that's when you don't lose hope. So we need that adult-like faith. So I really encourage each and every one of you to display adult-like faith, to pursue adult-like faith, to ask God to strengthen your faith, because I know myself that the standard is so high, I'm never going to reach it. And it should be like that for all of us. The standard is so high, we have to keep pursuing that greater faith, that committed relationship with Jesus. So that's something that I really want to encourage you of, because that's really going to affect people like me. that little cute little boy like him when he grows up. And it's really important. It's so important. And we're just going to close with prayer. So I would just ask that you stand up with us. Shall we bow our heads? Father God, you are so amazing, Lord. We freely come together and talk about you, Lord. We have the blessing to say your name and to learn about you, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit works in each and every one of us, Lord, that you may help us grow, that you may help us fall in love with you deeper so we may have that committed relationship with you, so we may have that greater faith, that adult-like faith, Lord. I pray that you be with each and every one of us, and as we walk away, Father, may we think about our relationship with you and help us to be the person that you want us to be, Father. All things are possible through you, Lord, so help us to be that person that you want us to be. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Heavenly Father, as we are standing here tonight, we thank you because we have a God that is able. Help us to become fully persuaded while we face the facts that you are able. And may our testimony be one of a faithful God that we deeply love. And so we ask that you continue to be with us, bless this camp meeting, bless the nights that are still to come and the speakers and the experience. And we thank you for giving us a place to get away, to be able, Lord, to deepen not only our relationship with you, but with one another as well. Because we know that we have to love one another so that others may know that we love you. We thank you so much for your promises, your faithfulness, and most of all for your word that reveals everything that we need to know about Jesus saves. And this we ask in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.